This is Mr. Michael Bean broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural, wild, mountain west in the occupied states of America. And my radio wrestling name is... what is my radio wrestling
name? The Iron Hamster.
The Iron Hamster. Yeah, I forget because there's a hamster in my brain and it's running on an iron wheel and it squeaks. And on the other end of the inner tubes, we have the shiny badger, Mr. Davy Barker. Hello, Davy.
Hello, I am in the designated credentialed media zone.
Do you have your, did you get your police media, your free speech permit?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm completely compliant in my speech.
Yeah, this is a carryover of last night. For those of you who are new to the Freedom Fiends, we like to book hosts, especially Davy Barker, more than one night in a row because we really get going and it's really good. And last night we had some technical problems. Hopefully we're not having any tonight. Sounds good on my end. Does it sound good on your end, Davy?
Sounds fine to me.
Excellent. Excellent.
No one else is listening, so.
There's probably 12 people listening. No, I'm kidding. There's billions. No, somewhere between 12 and billions, probably. Probably on the lower end of that. But, you know, probably the high three figures with all three radio stations and the internet combined listening live. And then later some people will download it and, be paid to sit at work at their government jobs. And that's their tax protest. They still pay their taxes and they still work for the government, but they steal from the government by listening to the fiends and doing work slowdowns while they're at work. And that sounds good to me.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep. So you want to talk about Stefan Molyneux. Who is Stefan Molyneux for those who don't know?
Stefan Molyneux is the host of Free Domain Radio, which is plugged as the world's largest philosophy podcast?
Conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a podcast and a website. And you can also pay and get the secret decoder ring to go on like the secret pay parts.
Yeah.
Of the website.
I have the FDR decoder ring.
Do you?
Yeah.
FD. It's funny that, if I were coming up with a website about Liberty and I realized that the abbreviation for what I'd picked was FDR, I'd pick something else. Because, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, FDR, and we're going to talk about him later. We talked about him last night. He was a progressive who got progressively sicker in his fourth term in office.
As progressives are wont to do.
And he used the Bureau of Censorship or whatever the Central Scrutinizer was called. They had an actual bureau for that in the federal government during World War II. And he used that to censor the fact that he was sick so nobody could find out. Kind of like, don't look at the man behind the curtain. Yeah.
Well, I think as hard as it might be to believe, Free Domain Radio is reclaiming the acronym FDR because there are people that don't know who Franklin Delano Roosevelt is.
Wow. These kids today. Yeah. And Stefan Molyneux was actually an important part of my path to liberty. Was he?
Oh, yeah. Mine too.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
And a couple months ago, about a year ago, I did an interview with him. I guess I interviewed him, but it was kind of, when I interview somebody, it's me talking as much as them, which if you go look at his YouTube posting of our interview, there's people complaining like, God, Stefan should be more careful with who he talks to. This guy talks too much. Like, we just want to hear our God, Stefan Molyneux. But he kind of irked me because he made some really specious allegations, as he is wont to do, like basically saying that if you're into kinky sex with, consensual kinky sex with other adults, you probably had a bad childhood and you need to examine your motivations. And, I pointed that out and people didn't really think it was that weird because not that many people are into kink or will admit to it at least. But then he said the same thing about karate. Like if you're into karate, any martial arts
or competitive fighting,
there's something wrong with you and you need to examine it. And that martial arts have a lot of practitioners and even more people who think it's a good thing if they're not even practitioners, and people just slayed him on it. And as he gets more and more popular, he kind of strays from just saying like some of the best explanations of what's wrong with government in this really polite, likable Canadian way. You know, like Canadians don't get really angry, it seems, like us Americans. They're very polite, which is kind of a cliche, but it seems kind of true with the Canadian libertarians I know. And he's very likable, and people like him. Like, people who would never listen to the Freedom Fiends because we sound like radicals to them. Like, you know, normal, like, soccer moms will listen to stuff on Molyneux because he seems...
Yeah, you put it in a British accent, suddenly it's totally fine.
Yeah, he is, he's Irish, actually.
Yeah.
He's an Irish-born Canadian. But, you know, he's said some stuff that's so crazy, like, over the past couple months, that it's led me to formulate something I call the Molyneux rule, which is that when any libertarian reaches 50,000 hardcore followers, not 50,000 listeners or viewers, but like 50,000 people who wake up every morning and go, what's Stefan doing? Like, kind of treat them like a living god or a hero. When you get to about 50,000 hardcore listeners or hardcore fans, followers is a better word, you go insane or at least lose your internal filters. Because he started saying things lately like, Without me, liberty would have to wait another 2,500 years, which is like, you know, a messiah complex. And some other stuff he said that was just really, you know, equally nutty.
The latest one was saying that humans are of two different species. And then saying some things that are not the scientific definition of species, and then saying, I'm not making this up, this is science. Like, he doubled down.
Was he talking about the two species being people who like liberty and people who want to have control or be controlled?
Yeah, that's essentially what he was talking about. But he was talking about how, like, their brains are actually different and how...
Really? Because I said this and did a blog post and a Freedom Fiends with Nemo about it 2 years ago. We even made up names for the different species. We called them Homo parasitis and Homo libertitis.
Yeah, but
we
I'm
were
a fan
kind
of...
We were kind of tongue-in-cheek. You know, we weren't actually saying, like... This is eugenics, you know, and there's proof or anything.
But it's when he doubles down and he says, I'm not kidding, this is science, that I sort of say, okay, we're not being hyperbolic anymore. Like, you're actually claiming this is a scientific reality.
Yeah. Another thing he's been doing a lot is, while he's making more money than probably anybody else in Liberty, who's a true libertarian, true anarcho-capitalist, he will complain and screech on video that he's not making enough money. And like, berate his listeners like a televangelist. And twice now he's gotten a donation of $1 and $3 where he's gone on a tirade about it. Like, how dare you even send me such a small amount? You know, I'm grateful if someone sends me a dollar, but
you know, I think in a way, at least for me, that's kind of a public service. Like, when he does his chastising about donations and he says, like, are you really living your values if you're not really giving money to what you really believe in and blah, blah, blah. I turn around and I donate to all kinds of other organizations.
Yeah,
like you, I use Molyneux as my,
what's the opposite of a boycott? A boycott.
A boycott,
yeah,
right? So, like, Molyneux goes on his sort of...
To the competitors.
Yeah, he goes on his sort of biannual donation drive, and I go, I'm going to send some money to EFF, or I'm going to send some money to Free Talk
Live. I'm going to send some money to re-elect Barack Obama for a third term and put it in Stefan Molyneux's name. Yeah, I'm just kidding. But, yeah, and another thing, so there was this this Facebook... There have been a lot of critiques of him, like, ever since he started, like... The BBC actually like did a piece on, you know, that maybe he was a cult leader, and they interviewed some kid that, like, you know, Stefan told him to leave his family and, you know, never contact them again. Now, I have written a whole book, User's Manual for the Human Experience. It has a couple chapters on, like, putting a no contact on family members that are truly toxic, but I don't say forever. And, you know, I have terms on it, and I don't, unlike Stefan, I don't think everyone had a bad childhood and everyone has bad parenting. He seems to think everyone did.
I don't know.
Lately, there have been some critiques of him that I thought were really funny and not... And the kid that the BBC interviewed was 18. He was still living at home. He was not a child. But, yeah. But you know, he does... He's been accused of kind of doing some cult-like things, like... oh, what does he do? Like telling people to leave his their families and like kind of encourages them to replace their family with him. And whenever any, you know, if you give money to his organization, you know, he'll praise you and talk with you on the forum. And if you stop giving a lot of money, allegedly, he'll, you know, cut you off, not talk to you. And if you're critical of him at all, he'll drop you. Now, you know, I gotta say, I love Ian Freeman's dedication to free speech. It's kind of the opposite of that, like to a fault, to like, you could be on his LRN radio network, you know, internet network. And I've criticized him before, you know, on there, like we did last night about, you know, they're ranting against violence and people who like violence and then having someone on their show who has violence. And that's the kind of stuff that would get you kicked off by some other people. I like people that don't kick you off for things like that.
Well, they're really thick skinned.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they've heard it all and they're really confident in who they are. And so you can, I mean, I don't, but people do badmouth them all the time and they can take it. And
yeah,
I think people exaggerate Stefan Molyneux's position on the family too. Like if you listen, I've listened to him for a long time and it is sort of mitigated by like trying to reconcile with your family. And if they refuse to reconcile and refuse to acknowledge the problems you're having, then, you know, time apart is important, and he sort of puts it on the family to reconcile once you've done your due diligence or whatever.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And so there was this YouTube channel called True Shibes, T-R-U-S-H-I-B-E-S. You know, the Shibe dog, the thing that's on the Dogecoin, the dog coin. Was there?
Oh, Shibe, the Shibu Inu?
Shibu, yeah. True Shibus. Yeah. And it was a YouTube channel. The name had nothing to do with what it was. It was completely dedicated to, like, pointing out the foibles of Stefan Molyneux. And I watched probably, you know, a quarter of each, you know, long video of like 10 or 12 videos on there a couple months ago. And I was pretty amused by it. And it pretty much came to the same conclusions I'd been coming to for about a year, you know, that he, regardless of whether he still has like really solid explanations of why government is aggression, he was kind of turning into this, like, sounded like he was believing he was a messiah and also was kind of hypocritical sometimes. Like they would show, you know, a clip where he was saying you should never shout anybody down or interrupt them. And then like 10 minutes later in the same video, he shouted down and interrupted a caller, things like that. And, okay. You know, and one of the things they featured was him saying, without me, liberty would have to wait humanity would have to wait 2,500 more years for liberty. And he also is a huge anti-IP, guy. You know, he does not believe
that, don't say,
intellectual property. He's against intellectual property law, but he seems to be using intellectual property law against his detractors. And we'll talk
he
about
pulled
this
a Ron Paul on these
when
guys.
We get back. Yeah, but Ron Paul was never anti-IP. Stefan yeah. is. All right, we'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Shiny badges on your jacket, shiny badges.
This is Davi Barker from shinybadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at shinybadges.com, write worms in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
Yeah. Hosanna, y'all. All hail the mighty Molyneux. So, Davi.
Yes.
We're talking about Stefan Molyneux and how, he has, his business manager has sent cease and desist takedown notices based on copyright violation to YouTube and gotten this True Shibes, you know, critique channel of Stefan Molyneux taken down. And it seems,
oh, this is why I can't find the video, because this is one of the videos that was taken down.
Yeah. You were like, there's not much here. Yeah. Well, I watched them all, or a bunch of them. And
I saw this is the one that I was talking about earlier was he says he doesn't see people as belonging to the same species. And over the break, I was looking for it. I'm like, I know I've seen this video, but no, it's on this list of ones that was taken down.
Yeah.
Which is just tragic because it was a good video.
Yeah. And he's also, you know,
I would be flattered if somebody put together an entire YouTube video dedicated to pining over my every word and pointing out my flaws. I would praise that person. I would thank them heartily.
Yeah. No, it's a whole channel. But the thing is, the critiques were pretty apt, and, or at least there were things I'd been saying already.
Yeah.
And, you know, it seems hypocritical to a lot of, well, to me and other people. I don't want to say us. Does it seem
hypocritical? You're stretching the word seems there. I think it is hypocritical.
Okay. I'm trying not to be, speak for you and trying not to be a collectivist. But yeah, it's hypocritical that he has railed against intellectual property laws, and then he's using intellectual property takedown notices through YouTube to remove critique of him. And the thing is, like, they told YouTube, you know, part of their complaint was, or their defense of this, when people took him to task for it, Molyneux's business manager, who I take as, you know, Jay Carney for the White House. It's like, you know, if you're paying someone to speak for you, I think you're responsible for what they say. And I also know from, I had some dealings with Molyneux, where he's this business manager, Michael, what's his name, CCs Molyneux on everything. So it's not like he didn't know about this.
They work very close together. I know them both. And yeah, they consult on everything. It's not like there's some automated free domain radio machine that Molyneux doesn't know what's going on in his company. Like I think it's more like a
partnership from what I can see.
Yeah. And, you know, he's run a number of small businesses. Like, he's an active business owner, right? Like, he's a hands-on kind of guy.
Who is, Michael or Stefan?
Molyneux, yeah, Stefan. Yeah.
Well, the first
time... So he must have known... I mean, first off, there's no way that somebody's going to be filing any kind of legal paperwork without consulting the other guy.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the first I heard of this guy was when I was listening to you and Free Talk Live from the Texas Bitcoin convention. He was there, right?
Mm-hmm. That was the first place I met him in person.
Yeah, I know it was something. Free Talk Live was on the spot doing live that was before Porkfest, and I think it was that. And they had Stefan on for a few minutes, and the last question Ian asked them when they were going to a break was, so are you going to be at Porkfest this year? And he said, I think I'm going to have to talk to my business manager about that. And I was like, really? Come on, man.
You know, you also have to keep in mind that Stefan Molyneux is recovering from cancer. And so a lot of the traveling has been curtailed recently. A lot of his appearances have been diminished.
I'll cut him a break on that, but I'm not going to cut him a break on, you know, I mean, I don't even need to cut him a break. I mean, you know, I can't say Stefan should travel, you know, he owes it to the people. I don't think that at all. I just thought it kind of weird that, you know,
it is a strange response.
Yeah. I think it's weird that, like, you know, somebody would go to the Texas Bitcoin convention and have to question going to Porkfest, because to me, I like the guy who does the Texas Bitcoin convention, and you were there and you dug it, but you know, I think Porkfest is a more important event, really, in a way.
I think it's sort of
for a liberty person.
I think that it's sort of like the difference between me going to Porkfest and me going to Walker Stalker Con. It's like, one is like my battery where I go to recharge and hang out with my peeps. And the other is outreach. It's the one where I go to the community that's less plugged into liberty, and I'm there sort of as a candle.
Okay, there you go. There you go.
That's what I think is going on.
I also thought it was weird that Stefan Molyneux is this like face of Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies. And, you know, I have freedomainradio.bit, you know, the Namecoin domain for him.
He didn't want it.
He didn't want it. I tried to give it to him free, to him, and, you know, and then that was when I started dealing with Michael. And I was like, really? Like, I'm not harmed by it personally. I'm just kind of thinking, like, man, you're not really on the cutting edge if you're not willing to take 10 minutes for me to transfer this to you free and tell you how to set it up. But we'll be back with more critiques of Stefan Molyneux and other things, Liberty, when we get back.
Worms
on the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Hey, this is Squiskar Squigelts from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing. Buttons! Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Welcome to Molyneux Chat. What's your name, caller?
Huh?
What's your name, caller? Welcome to Molyneux Chat. Yes. No. You're Dobby Barker.
Hi, this is Shibu Inu.
Okay, so we're talking
My
about
friends Steph- call me Doge.
We're talking about Stephen Molyneux, and you know, it's tiring even commenting on stuff like this, like putting it together. Ian Freeman, huh? Wow, Ian Freeman has pulled Stephen Molyneux from LRN. I think we're going to take a call from Ian Freeman here in a couple minutes. Yeah, cool. Ian, let me finish the presenting the evidence here, and then you can jump on here. So I'm reading this response from Michael DeMarco on the Stephen Molyneux Facebook page. He says, because some of you have asked, I received messages from several listeners about their calls, images, videos from participation in our shows being used to bully them online. This was spread across two different channels, and they asked if I could have the content removed. Going after listeners is completely unacceptable, and I use the method at my disposal to remove the material. If you attack listeners, this doesn't even sound like
the method at my disposal means I called the state.
Well, he went to YouTube and said, you know, I need to have this removed. Okay. Yeah, that's weird. That's weird.
I mean, it's also not totally unacceptable. The users and the callers on the show are people on the internet, and people on the internet are subject to trolling.
Yeah, well, and then the other thing is, it's kind of interesting on the Freedom Fiends Facebook Facebeef page. I posted Free Domain Radio apparently terminated True Shives by issuing copyright takedown requests. It's a link to a Reddit thread about it, which I will link in the show notes. If you want to follow along on the home version, you can go to the Freedom Fiends Facebook page and click on this. And it says, is Stephen Molyneux using government guns to take down content critical of him? That's the question I posed. It seems he is. And I'm kind of surprised that there are smart people I know, like, defending him on this. Like, somebody said, who's a longtime Fiend fan, who's a smart guy, said, no, Fiends, this is the folks at FDR trying to protect their listeners and show participants from the trolls who are threatening them and using the only legal means available. IP has nothing to do with it. Well, IP has something to do with it, because when you issue a takedown notice on YouTube, it's, you know, them dealing with IP so it doesn't get, you know, put up to government, to government.
Wait,
guns.
So walk me through this. So the allegation, the rebuttal is, True Shives posted audio or video from Free Domain Radio that was threatening the listener.
Yeah,
and to take the threat off of YouTube.
Yeah.
But see, that doesn't make sense either, because you can send a request to YouTube, say this is a threat, and not
and
say
take
this
down,
is a copyright
infringement. And also take down, you know, one video, not the whole channel.
Well, yeah, that's sort of up to kinda, you.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah,
but
services.
I don't know. You know, maybe there was one video threatening that came out after I viewed a bunch on there. I looked at it, and it just looked like really funny and accurate, like chunks, just chunks of Stefan Molyneux in his own words in video talking with kind of, it's kind of like, you know, those things on TV where they have like the pop-up thing where it's like somebody talking and then, you know, on the Daily Show or something and they have a little word balloon come up. It was kind of like that. Yeah, like, you know,
like VHF used to be.
Yeah, it was like that. And it was, there was nothing threatening about it that I saw. So Ian Freeman, if Ian Freeman wants to call in on the Freedom Fiends
bat phone.
Yeah, man. I called in yesterday, so he knows who I am. It's Kitty Feet One. Ian, go ahead and call in. We'd like to hear what you have to say about I guess he's pulled Stefan from LRN.fm, which is kind of surprising because, you know, I've never known him to pull anybody before, and I've suggested he pulled people before, and he's like, no, man, it's for LRN is all about free speech. We're gonna keep him.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Wow.
I don't know. I mean, I kind of want to examine it now. Like, if the allegation is that threats were made against people, I still don't know that I would go to the state, though.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, they went to YouTube and, you know, said, take this down. I don't know. People copy my stuff on YouTube a lot. Like, there are, oh, you know, 10 or 20 different instances of the Guns and Weed movie up on other people's channels. And, you know, I don't care. I like it. And I kind of like how YouTube deals with it. Like, they put, you know, my distributor has a deal with them worked out. It's sort of IP-ish, I guess, but it doesn't involve guns. It just involves getting paid. It's like, if you put up one of their movies, they put ads on it, and the distributor and me get the money. So that's kind of an interesting way that YouTube came about with it. And you were saying that you think in LibPair... What do you think copyright and trademark and patent would look like?
There would still be. I don't know what it would look like, but I do believe there would be some sort of intellectual property protection in LibPair, in libertarian paradise. I just don't think it'll look anything like what it looks like now. I think it'll mostly be centered around those things that are fraud. I think that a trademark will be seen sort of like a signature, and sort of using someone's trademark will be looked at as a forgery of someone's signature. But this whole idea that, like, you own the ideas that you had and nobody else can use those ideas, like, that's so absurd. I don't know, like, I don't know how anybody could defend that.
Yeah.
And the idea that you can release media into the wild and then control where it goes is sort of equally absurd to me.
Yeah, I think there would only be trademark, and it would be more of a fraud thing, you know, if somebody... said, if you claim to be somebody, like, I don't think you'd even need laws to do it, though. I think you could have, like, I think now they could do this, like, you'd have a hologram with, you know, two-factor authentication in it on the back of the Rolex watch, and you could scan it with your smartphone and prove, yes, that came from Rolex, and if not, you'd know you're wearing a fake thing. Although,
yeah, whatever that's worth.
a lot of companies wouldn't want to be, you know, have people wearing a fake thing anyway. They feel like they've built the brand that much. Is he in there?
Hey, here I am.
Ian, didn't there used to be a second show called Free Talk Live a long time ago that was run by a crazy person who was a white supremacist who killed his girlfriend and then himself, and you never went after it because you didn't care? And I guess nature
took
out...
That's a pretty good summary of it. Yeah, that's it was actually put out there by some white group called VNN. I think it stands for Vanguard News Network. I think they're still around, but their show, Free Talk Live, is no more.
Yeah, the universe took out its trash. The guy.
Yep, they took themselves out. We didn't have to lift a finger.
you didn't have that done. No, it just happened.
So, yeah, I pulled. It's funny. It was funny listening to you talk about LRN.fm, my little internet network, and how tolerant I am of critique or whatever. And yeah, I'm certainly tolerant of critique, as Dobby was talking about before. Free Talk Live has been through all of it, you know, including death threats and things like that. But I had some concerns about Stefan Molyneux since before this sort of recent blow up with the whole Truth About series. It's just, I can't stand it when, you know, people talk about how honest they are, and when people claim to have the truth, I immediately question that, and it just kind of struck me as weird. And then I heard some of the statements that he made about women, which were disturbing. Now you're talking about this news about him using copyright allegedly against people very disturbing stuff. So LRN.FM isn't a free speech network. You know, I don't want to put a bunch of crazy kooks on the air. So we don't do the conspiracy shows on LRN. And I also really, I'm not interested in, you know, putting forth people that, you know, for instance, want to restrict immigration. So it's an ideological network, really.
Yeah, it's all about the non-aggression principle and personal freedom. And most of the shows on there, too, kind of have a kind of an upbeat kind of, I guess, personal freedom, like beyond, you know, codifying things into freedom, but just kind of like living free. You know, it's more of a happy network than a lot of liberty stuff.
This all kind of surprises me, like, quite a bit, because, like, the majority of Free Domain Radio's material seems like it's right in line with other things I hear on LRN. But, I mean, he does say kooky things from time to time. So I'm wondering, like, is it like, I know on Free Talk Live, like, racism is one of the things that can get you dropped right away, right? So is there a policy or a rule or something like that?
That's not the case with Free Talk Live. We've had Scott the Bigot call that show for years. He hasn't,
but he doesn't have a show. A caller is different than a host. You know, you wouldn't give him a show.
So I guess what I mean is,
would you?
No, is there
no way.
Is there a rule that exists in LRN, or is there like a straw that broke the camel's back? Like, what is it that gets you kicked off LRN?
Oh, it's just completely arbitrary, based on how I'm feeling.
So why did you take Stefan Molyneux off, and when did you take him off? I'm not saying you shouldn't have. I'm just curious.
It wasn't tonight. I had already taken him off a few days ago.
Did you let him know?
No, I didn't really. You know, we don't have a direct relationship. There's no agreements between anybody on the network. And most of the time, a lot of the shows don't indicate that they're on LRN.FM. So
it wasn't it wasn't just a scheduling thing, though. It was that you didn't want him on your network for some reason.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, I went through some of the reasons. There have been some very disturbing things that have happened recently. And in fact, I was listening to the network earlier, right before your show tonight, and I heard a different host having guests on that were talking about the border's open, blah, blah, blah. And they weren't challenged. So I'm going to be emailing him as well and asking him about that.
Huh. Wow. What I was criticizing you about yesterday, you know, gently, just kind of pointing out it sounded hypocritical to me, was, so you had a caller yesterday, first caller on the show, you know, first caller that came on said, we need to start shooting police, and was just really adamant about it. And you and Mark and Derek J. Were really good about saying, hey, that's a bad idea. You know, we don't recommend this, you know, and then after he was off the air, you had an extended conversation about when anybody's advocating violence in your organization, you should get them out of your organization because either they're a government plant or, you know, they're going to bring you problems. And I was just saying it's kind of hypocritical. I thought it was hypocritical because you guys have recently added he who cannot be named, which is what we call Cantwell, who has advocated for these things. And you not only have him as a guest, you have him sitting there once a week as a co-host.
Yeah, and I don't know if you've heard those episodes, but he's a great co-host. He's very entertaining, very funny. And no, Chris would not, I don't think, advocate what that guy called in about yesterday. And by the way, that same guy called back tonight and proceeded to advocate the extermination of 90% of Congress as well.
Wow.
Which, you know, as I pointed out, would likely be more popular than talking about killing the police, but nonetheless is still violence and doesn't work. But, you know, Christopher Cantwell isn't he's not a fool, and I don't think he would advocate something like that, even though he does have that viewpoint of that sort of violence fetishizing viewpoint, which is something that at one point I held.
See, I don't think it matters if it's not on air, you know, I mean, I wouldn't have a co-host on my show that is sane on the air and then talks crazy stuff on his blog. We'll talk more about it. Stay on.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. but they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com. Dobby Barker, and also Ian Friedman from Free Talk Live and the Liberty Radio Network. We're talking about Stefan Molyneux with an asterisk about Chris Cantwell. And the Chris Cantwell thing is really about Ian. It's not really about Chris Cantwell. But, okay, the Molyneux thing, Stefan Molyneux had his guy send some takedown notices to YouTube to take down a YouTube page, YouTube channel, True Shibes, which I had looked at about a month ago and found nothing on there threatening, just a lot of Stefan in his own words saying ridiculous stuff and commenting on it. And so it seems, it looks like Molyneux has used intellectual property, which he has railed against for years, to take down critique of him. And, you know, this is something that people got really mad at Ron Paul about, because Ron Paul, you know, sent lawyer letters to the people who had ronpaul.com and demanded they turn it back over to him after they'd homesteaded it with, I guess, his permission for a decade or something. I would argue that the Molyneux thing is more egregious because, first of all, Ron Paul never actually came out and said intellectual property is bad. He did say, you know, using government guns is bad, using the UN guns is bad, which he used in this purpose in this situation. But
this would be like if I turned in my neighbor for smoking pot.
Exactly.
It's sad.
Yeah. And the other thing is
because he didn't like me.
You know, I have trouble. I mean, nobody's perfect, and anybody you look up to is going to do something silly in their life. But when people start doing things over and over and over that don't seem like, you know, what you fell in like with back in the day, it sometimes to me seems like it's time to cut them loose. Like there's comments like of people who are intelligent, who I know, who I've known for a long time. Like I'm talking on the Freedom Fiends face beef page about, you know, I watched a bunch of videos from True Shibes. Nothing was threatening. It's just commenting on Stefan Molyneux, you know, on stuff he says that's crazy. And somebody commented, someone I know who seems like a reasonable person said, we'll see how it all shakes out, but frankly, I do not believe you. Like, you know what? You think I'm lying that I saw these videos and there was nothing, you know? I'm not,
it's escalating too.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like maybe a year and a half ago, things started getting a little wobbly in free domain radio land. And now it seems like there's like a crazy statement once a month or so.
And it seems to me like, here's the bottom line on this with me. It seems to me like you can't hold someone up as a paragon if they keep doing crazy stuff. Like when I was a minarchist, at some point I had to say, you know, you can't really look at Thomas Jefferson as a bastion of liberty because the guy owned people. You know, no matter what he said or did that was good and liberty oriented, the guy owned people. And, you know, Molyneux doesn't own people, but he does have a following that seems kind of like deer in the headlights. I don't know if he's controlling them secretly with brainwaves, but he does. You know, he has done so many and said so many crazy things lately and then done this one crazy thing that's antithetical to everything he's ever said, that it seems to me like it's time to stop saying, oh, but he says such great things about liberty. Davi,
you know, sure. What I think Ian? I think a factor is that when you have the kind of show where it's just the one guy, whether it's Stefan Molyneux or Alex Jones, I think that what you have is more likely to create the cult of personality. And when you've just got one guy talking into a microphone to himself or to this worshipful crowd of listeners, that creates sort of this ego trip, and there's nobody else there to check him.
Check them, yeah. And you know what I always say is, it really takes two people to do good radio, and the people that do it solo, they have a second co-host. It's the hamster in their brain. You know, it's the voices in their head that they're talking to. Like, sometimes Rush Limbaugh talks to the voices in his head.
Yeah.
Out loud.
It's Mr. Snerdly.
Yeah. So do we have any more on what do you guys think about all this? Like you said, what did you say about his canon, Davi?
Well, he produced a canon, and it's a very good canon, and then he jumped the shark, and it seems like everything since he completed that body of work has been sort of, he's phoning it in.
That's what happens when you make something your day job, and the Freedom Fiends are maintaining our amateur status so we can compete in the Liberty Olympics. And we'll be back with more in the second hour. Can you stay on, Ian Freeman?
Sure.
All right. You could give tips on how to... You got to stay pretty sane after 10 years of doing it every day. You can tell us how you do that. Worms. It's because you and Mark argue so much. That keeps you honest. There's no one there to tell Stefan Molyneux most of what you say is wrong, like Mark will do to Ian, or Ian to Mark. Worms.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
All right, this is the Freedom Fiends late night talk radio show. This is Mr. Michael Dean. And on the other end of the inner tubes, we have Davi Barker. Are you there, Davi?
I'm here.
Excellent. And do we have Mr. Ian Freeman?
Hey there.
Hey. So we were talking about Stefan Molyneux in the first hour, for the first hour. You know, I kind of hate to go on tirades about other libertarians because I kind of feel like everyone's trying, and I definitely am not and don't want to ever be seen as somebody who, there are people who, you know, bash the bigger fish to try to bring themselves up. You know, the young lion that comes up and tries to swat at the older lion to take his throne. Mm-hmm. I'm not that guy. I'll never be that guy. I don't even like to, like, you know, communicate with the world in more than one direction. So I don't care what they say back, but the Molyneux thing was really it was kind of bugging me, but the thing that was really bugging me was the reaction to it. Like people saying, oh, well, he says this crazy stuff and does this crazy stuff, but he's still, you know, he's still solid on liberty. And I don't really see it that way. I see it like, you know, how someone deals in one thing is how they are. It's not compartmentalized. And I don't even agree with Davi necessarily that you can look at, like, he has this canon that you can go back to that's pure, and then you just don't listen to anything after he started getting nuttier. I kind of think it's all the same person. And I criticized Ian last night on this show briefly in passing about the what seemed like hypocrisy to me of saying on the air yesterday, you know, don't have anything to do with anybody who advocates violence, which is something I agree with entirely. But then
that's not what I said. That's not what I said. What I said was, if somebody comes into, let's say you have a group of activists wherever it is you live, and if somebody comes into that group talking about, hey, let's kill some cops, or like the guy that called Free Talk Live last night. You know, somebody comes in, start talking about destroying property, blowing things up, you know, that sort of thing. That's like red flag. This guy is either a federal agent, agent provocateur, or just a really angry and dangerous libertarian. And I think that, you know, that's what I was saying. And I said that if somebody like that comes into your group, talk with them, you know, with compassion, and explain that the folks that you hang out with don't talk about that stuff and don't see violence as a solution, and that you'd appreciate it if, you know, that he didn't go there or something like that, and try to model peace for that individual, which is basically what I'm trying to do with Chris Cantwell.
Okay, because I don't see much difference between Chris Cantwell and the guy who was on the show, except that Chris Cantwell can write a complete sentence and write a decent essay, and that guy was just spewing, but the ideas behind it seem the same.
I wouldn't say they're quite the same. I mean, having known Chris and having read his posts on his website, I think that he understands that killing the police in the way that that caller had suggested would absolutely be a suicide run, and he's not a fool. He's not going to do that. So I think they are a little bit different. Christopher Cantwell is not suicidal. He's actually fairly rational, and he's a good neighbor. He lives across the street from me. He's also a killer activist, and he's very, very good on the air. So probably it's not a the programming
best,
decision.
Probably not really. The best adjective, killer, for the argument you're trying to make.
So, Michael, you know, my experience with moving to New Hampshire was I was pretty angry like Chris. I mean, not as angry as Chris, but I was definitely in the same camp. And being around a group of people like Russell Canning and Kat Canning and Lauren Canario, some of the earliest movers to the Keene area for the Free State Project, being around those people was infectious. And Russell, of course, always had a smile on his face. And even in, you know, when he was being arrested, he had a good demeanor about him. And that was infectious. It absolutely did infect me. And being able to connect with the police rather than having them be this sort of anonymous force. Here in Keene, they're all very individual, and it's easy to connect with them as another human being. So I think that over time, he'll probably mellow out.
You know, my issues with him aren't even about what he writes. I don't agree with it, but, you know, Larkin Rose has written similar things, and I like Larkin Rose, and Larkin Rose has actually been rude to me in person the one time I met him, and I've never met Cantwell, and I like Larkin Rose more. Cantwell's never really done anything to me because, you know, I'm beyond reproach. Like, the worst anyone could say to me is what he said to me, which I don't think is true, but he said that I'm boring and people, nobody likes my show and it's on a bunch of Cowtown stations. But, you know, he somehow got money to move next door to you and weasel his way onto your show. So now he's on a bunch of Cowtown stations and a few city stations. So my main issue with him is how he treats other people. I mean, I know a couple of women that he's walked up to drunk and said, "Hey, baby, we should do it," you know, to make it radio friendly. And to make it radio friendly, they told him to get lost. And then he went into a tirade and called him fat whore cows and stuff that I can't even say on radio beyond that. And I don't find that, you know, any kind of good person that would do, I don't think a good person would do that. And he's also kind of a griefer on the internet. And a lot of people who are fans of him.
What's a griefer?
A griefer is somebody. Well, you're laughing, but, you know, like the extreme form of griefing is like tormenting somebody on the internet to the point where they're in tears and want to kill themselves. I mean, he gets off on that, man, or he has in the past. And that's.
Cantwell's not a perfect person. There's no doubt about that. And I share some of your concerns with his behavior towards other human beings and his difficulty with forgiveness. But a lot of us.
So it sounds like. It sounds like, Ian, what you're saying is you're sort of hoping that Cantwell is sort of a typical new mover and that he'll sort of acclimate to the New Hampshire
Warm love vibe emanating from everyone there and be changed. It's possible, but I mean, you know, Davi has written an article called "When Should Chris Cantwell Shoot Himself?" And I I did an episode called "Is Chris Cantwell a Cop?" that Davi and Garrett were on. And I'm not a fan of the guy, man. Not a fan. I'm surprised.
I understand. I mean, he's definitely somebody who is very polarizing, right? Which is why he's great for on the air. And you know, bringing somebody like that, especially who's comfortable behind a microphone, he has a good time with it. It's a programming decision. Straight up, he's good. He's one of the best co-hosts we have.
I think you'll regret it. I don't think he's one of the best co-hosts you have either. I think he's he sounds really overly self-assured, and it just seems like a calculated move to me.
Well, nobody comes close to Derek J. I mean, Derek J is amazing. Hands down the best.
He's beautiful, man.
And, like, far and away.
I love that he's a freedom fiend. He's doing a great job. Yeah. So
you don't like him. You don't like him. There's not much I can do about that.
I just won't listen on Wednesdays.
If I go, if I go by, make my programming decisions based on what people tell me that they like or they don't like, I'd have to pull everybody off the air, including myself, you know?
So, well, you know, they said that the reason in AA, the reason they came up with, the tradition of the only requirement for membership is a desire to stay sober is because in early AA, they had all the groups in the country send the New York office all of their rules for membership in AA. And they realized that if they were all enforced everywhere, no one would be a member.
Mm.
Yeah, so I can see inclusion. I don't know. I'm a pretty uninclusive guy. I build the communities I want and, you know, I don't call my show Free Talk Live. So I don't feel like I have to, you know, like you guys feel like you have
That'd
to
be
take,
confusing.
You have to take every caller. Well, it'd be the third show with that name, I guess. But, you know, I feel like you build it. You can do what you want with it. And, you know, if you want that cat on your show, it's cool for you. Yeah. Have fun. Davi.
Yeah, it sounds like Ian likes him, and you know, it's Ian's show, you might be wrong. He might turn over a new leaf and become a new Cantwell.
Yay!
I don't know. I mean,
Ian's home for wayward boys. That's what
you know. It is funny how the universe names people, right? I mean, his name is Cantwell.
Can't be well. Oh, can't be well, like sick. Yeah, well, you know, they say in AA too, you know, there's some that are constitutionally incapable of following these simple directives and getting better. There are such unfortunates, but the majority of people can get better. So maybe he can get well.
Now, of course, there's a difference between me having Cantwell on Free Talk Live sitting in the third chair and me giving Cantwell, his show on LRN.FM. That at this time certainly is not under consideration.
See, I wouldn't have me. If I had a network, and I kind of do in the Freedom Fiends having 12 co-hosts, and I'm actually in the process of trying out a 13th co-host because people have been doing too many shifts and complaining. So even with 12, because we're 7 days a week. So, but you know, I kind of feel that anybody that I would have on a second or third chair on the show, I would have do a show on a network. I think, I mean, one could be you're not ready for it, like you're not radio ready yet, but mm-hmm. I feel like anybody who's, you know, morally and ideologically ready to be on the show would be ready to do a whole show.
I don't have a moral or ideological requirement for co-hosting Free Talk Live. So, for instance, we had a guy named Centurion. He calls himself Centurion. He's one of the cop blockers here in Keene. Definitely not a voluntarist.
You know, you said that, though, but he said either on the show or later at some point things about the non-aggression principle that sounded like he got it.
He's come along in the last year. There's definitely no doubt about that. He's changed certainly a lot in the time that I've known him. And in fact, he was recently unbanned from the Keene Activity Center. So things have moved along for Centurion.
People do grow. You know, I mean, 15 or 20 years ago, 20 years ago, I voted for Nancy Pelosi. I voted, period.
Wow.
But I voted for Nancy Pelosi, and I feel like a lot of what I'm doing is making amends to the world for that now.
You know, that's sure. interesting. I feel guilty to this day for voting in favor of the California bullet train like 4 or 5 years ago. And that is a fiasco that is continuing to go on in California. And every time I hear about it, I'm like, maybe this is the one I can't complain about because I voted for it.
I guess the thing I feel about Cantwell is I think there's some people that he needs to make amends to, and he's never done it.
I agree.
To the point where, you know, he's laughed at the thought on the internet, like that thing about driving drunk from a couple of years ago where you criticized him and were basically throwing him under the bridge almost or under the bus saying, like, you know, this isn't someone we want around. He was saying, I almost never make amends for anything or apologize, but I will in this situation. But at that same event, Porkfest, 2 years ago, that's the one where he was, you know, calling women whores and worse because they wouldn't sleep with him. And he's never, I don't think he remember, maybe he doesn't remember it. You know, who knows?
You know, I thought I wouldn't, but it turns out that I do listen to the Wednesday show, and it's because it's a little bit like listening to a show that has a time bomb on the air.
I'm waiting. I think
I'm
you
like
guys.
Waiting
I think
for Cantwell to explode.
I think you guys just got him on so he could drive away James Witt, and I think he did it.
That was a great call.
That was my prediction.
Without James calling,
I think
amazing.
You should announce every show. Well, the price of Bitcoin is this, and gold is this, and James Witt hasn't called in this many days.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
How with me, Ian?
Meow.
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 Meow. Meow. Meow.
Meow. Meow. This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker. Yeah. From Airworm One, floating above Recluse, Wyoming, which is a suburb of Beast Lick, Wyoming, which is our word for, oh, you know, like bum F Egypt, you know, like the middle of nowhere is Beast Lick, Wyoming. And we were talking about censorship earlier, about
FDR.
FDR. Free Domain Radio, Stefan Molyneux's enterprise, censoring criticisms of him on the internet. And, you know, he's not the only FDR that ever censored. Franklin Delano Roosevelt liked to censor. And, yes, it is Delano. A lot of people call him Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
I'm guilty of that.
Because his wife's name was Eleanor. But, no, he wasn't Delano. He was Delano. And he was actually, did you ever see the pictures of him as a kid, like, in a dress? And I'm not talking a confirmation dress. Like, his mother raised him as a girl. It's kind of interesting.
Are you serious? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, but let's see. Declining health. He turned 62 in 44. He was a chain smoker who had been in declining health since 1940. Noticeably fatigued, he went to Bethesda Hospital for tests and was found to have high blood pressure, atherosclerosis, coronary artery disease, angina pectoris, and congestive heart failure. He was very ill, and in his fourth term, and I said yes, fourth term, because he suspended the Constitution to add terms because it was so important during the war that he remained president, that he did, because he could.
Because it's important not to beat a horse midstream.
Yes, and he was actually, like, incapacitated his part of his last term, and his wife was signing his name to presidential documents. Mm. She was making decisions and running the country secretly.
Our first female president.
There you go, was Eleanor Roosevelt.
Sounds like every time he got elected, he kept getting more diseases. Imagine that eats away at your soul.
Yeah. Yep, and we discussed politicians having sex with their wives in comas the other night on Free Talk Live, because that's the kind of show it is. And we discussed it last night too. Davi and I did, but
I think we cited on we're in favor of politicians having sex with their wives in comas, aren't we?
No, my wife and I called in and said that we were in favor of each other having sex with the other if the other person's in a coma, and we wanted to get it on record. But I said that I think that most of America's in a coma and being stuffed by politicians all the time anyway, without consent. But
without consent,
yeah. Yeah, but then that's bad. So, but they were asking for it dressed like that in that coma. That's how Americans are.
They were asking for it voting that way.
Voting that way. Look at the way they were voting. Yeah. They're voting. Okay, so Roosevelt, before he was incapacitated but was not in good health, he used his authority over the Office of Censorship to avoid press reports about his declining health. Like, don't look at the man behind the curtain. Do either of you want to read any about the Office of Censorship? I think this is pretty interesting. It was a war.
I can if you like, sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
I've got two tabs here. They're the same. So the Office of Censorship was an emergency wartime agency set up on December 19th, 1941 to aid in the censorship of all communications coming into and going out of the United States. It closed on November 1945. So this is the U.S. equivalent of Saudi Arabia's Department of Enjoining Good and Forbidding Evil.
Is that the name of the Saudi thing?
Yeah, I've talked about this on the air before. When I was a kid in Saudi Arabia, all media going into Saudi Arabia had to pass through the censorship bureau and would come out all blacked out.
I got to say, not a lot of conversations begin like that on talk radio, on conservative talk radio. When I was a young kid in Saudi Arabia.
Hey, finally, we found the government program that has actually been shut down. It actually closed 4 years after they started it.
I think it was interesting. I'll bet it was morphed into
the
something.
System works.
I'll bet it was morphed into the NSA.
You know, the prohibition ended. But, you know, they also started the war on marijuana the same year. Yeah, so I'm willing to bet that all of those bureaucrats complained about losing their job and their pensions and were quickly absorbed by other agencies.
Yeah, it's possible. When did the NSA start? I think the NSA came out of the OSS, which was part of it was the proto CIA, wasn't it?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Sounds believable.
I don't think that we actually did away with censorship, though.
We. Who's this we? Do you have a mouse in your pocket?
The big we, the capital W.
I'm just playing like Ian Freeman. You know, I've been doing that more and more, and I think it's a good exercise, and I do not get irritated when Ian does that, when people say, well, we need to send troops.
I completely agree with you, although I am going to defend the use of we. None of us here in this radio broadcast have done away with censorship.
Okay.
Huh?
I see it. I see it. Up. I get it. Yeah, I said my governor, talking about the governor of Wyoming. I wish I hadn't on my Anarchast that came out today.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Hi, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. The internet has lowered the cost barrier for a worldwide radio show to a price approaching zero. Yet there is one arena where you still need thousands of dollars to approach the audio quality of the corporate media. Doing a live spoken show with more than one host in different geographic locations. Our program, Fiend Phone, will solve that problem, and it will be given away free. Go to fiendphone.com to see what you can do to help. That's FEENPHONE.com.
This is the Freedom Fiends. And that song was Slish, going all the way back to 1991 as my band Slish with My God is a Woman. Yeah, I like women. Ian, you like women, don't you?
Yep.
Yep, you think they're special and wonderful. I do, too.
You gotta love them.
Yeah, I don't get the hating. You know, Molyneux and Cantwell both really seem to dislike women. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I mean, certainly I've seen that with Chris in his rhetoric, but in real life, he seems to get along with quite a few women.
Oh, wait, that's not the topic anymore. I'm sorry, it's FDR.
The other FDR.
Yeah. Yeah.
You also had asked about censorship as well, and if I had experienced censorship.
Yeah, we're talking about FDR, free domain radio censoring, and we're talking about FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt censoring. And he had this thing called the Office of Censorship in World War II, which is disbanded. It's the one government agency that's been disbanded, but I feel like it's been folded into other things. And some of the stuff they did was amazing. Like, they banned man on the street interviews, or, you know, radio stations going out with a microphone and asking the common citizen what they think about something, because they were afraid somebody could grab the mic and broadcast either blatant or coded pro, you know, enemy messages. The Office of Censorship and the Weather Bureau saw weather as especially sensitive. Military authorities asked the Office of Censorship to severely limit information about the weather because they feared too much information would help the enemy attack. You know, it's kind of bizarre, like the things that were classified then versus now kind of seems like crazy backwards world. Like, you know, when they were first getting the B-2, you know, spy planes, or the U-2 spy plane up in the late 50s, early 60s, you know, they were taking like pictures of Russia and Cuba from the air and then developing the film. And it was like this kind of grainy footage of enemy territory, so-called enemy territory. And it was classified. It was like, you know, if you were in possession of this, you would go to federal pound me in the whatever prison forever. Whereas now, like,
Google does it
in much higher res for almost the whole world, and also does street view of almost
the whole world. And the right grainy aerial photograph is apparently enough to invade a country now. So.
yeah. And, you know, but now, and it's kind of flip-flop too, like the stuff that was high tech, secret science stuff back then, like everybody has access to now, you know, like even encryption, like the encryption you can do with PGP mail or pigeon is far better than, you know, the Enigma machines that they, you know, spent millions of dollars, billions building room size computers to crack in World War II. Everybody Absolutely. Has that on their smartphone now, in their pocket.
So now it's not the photograph that's classified. It's the existence of the agency taking the photograph that's classified.
Well, it's also like they are over classifying things too, and then charging people with crimes for having them or possessing them. Like, I've heard that's a thing that's going on in the U.S. government, is like classifying things that wouldn't previously, or saying secret, sure, or some level of classification.
Well, now they're just trying to stop the photographers, right? So, I mean, that's why you have Photography Is Not a Crime, which is an awesome blog. But unfortunately, they have plenty of content where police and security agents all around the country are threatening, harassing, breaking cameras, shooting tear gas at, and doing various other horrible things to photographers. So that's the new version of this, I guess.
I think there's kind of a sea change, though, because, for one thing, the stuff that you and I and Davi say every day on the radio, like, forget about the internet. Like, that didn't exist then. That was a pipe dream. That was science fiction in World War II. But they had AM radio, and people talked on it and gave opinions, but they were generally government-approved opinions. And I believe that every show, you know, I joked, people say you commit 3 felonies a day. That's the name of a book, and it seems to be true because people don't know about all the laws out there, all the nanny laws. But I've joked that Ian commits 3 felonies per show. I think that, you know, that we say at least 3 things an hour on the Freedom Fiends, and you do on Free Talk Live, that probably would have gotten you thrown in a gulag under World War II FDR's Department of Censorship.
No doubt. Well, I mean,
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, there's an argument to be made that over time things have been getting more free, and there's a good argument there.
I'm better off than I was 4 years ago. That's what candidates always ask you. It's got nothing to do with the candidates, but I'm definitely better off than I was 4 years ago and 4 years before that. You know, it's getting better all the time for me.
Well, I've spent the last 4 years working it out. So, yeah, I've definitely gotten better at it. But I was going to say, I think one of the reasons is because they've mitigated the effect of anything you can incite people to do. Street protests don't really affect anything anymore. Like, get out the vote candidate, whatever, doesn't really affect anything anymore. Writing letter campaigns to your congressman doesn't really affect anything anymore. So all the things that, like, radical speech could have incited people to do back then is ineffective now, so they don't care if you say it anymore.
Well, yeah. I agree with that to the extent of the federal level, but not here in New Hampshire. You can have an effect here.
Sure. But like, I've seen huge anti-war protests since 2003 in the Iraq War, since every time Israel does anything, there's pro-Palestine rallies all over the place in the Bay Area. And these are like huge war protests compared to the things that actually, like, you know, contributed to ending Vietnam. But now they're completely ignored and they're surrounded by police from the get-go. And they're all out there with their street permits to, you know,
what was it that Alexander
Haig? I was just Googling that. Alexander Haig said they can protest all they want as long as they pay their taxes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was going to say, I think saying that the government is immoral doesn't bother them. I think Ian is the one that is really pushing the envelope because he tells people, well, what do you tell people, Ian? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Well, I mean, I tell people a lot of things, obviously.
About taxes, about paying taxes.
Well, I don't pay them, and I haven't for a decade. So, I mean, I think that more people should opt out of that and improve their lives immediately as a result.
Why aren't you in a cage? Not that you should be. I don't think you should be. But how can you do that? How can you,
get away with that?
Yeah.
They may be coming for me next year. I mean, who knows? I mean, the word is that they like to wait several years and then strike later so they can build up a bunch of charges. So, you know, a cage may be awaiting me, but it's just one of those things where you throw caution to the wind and you go for it. The argument could be made that they're staying away because there will be publicity. But then again, they like to target people for publicity, like Wesley Snipes, for instance. So you tell me, your guess is as good as mine, but there are millions of people in the United States who are not in a cage for not paying taxes.
I pay them really, really, really begrudgingly.
I understand the feeling.
Yeah. Davi.
Yes.
Oh, I'm not asking if you pay taxes. I'm just throwing the conversation to you.
Yeah, you know, I try to get out of paying taxes as much as I can. I have a wife who's not so much on board with the tax noncompliance, and so, you know, we sort of struggle with the paperwork every year.
My wife is basically I wouldn't say what she lets me do, but we have discussed as partners in life and in love and in money, you know, because we share everything. Basically what we've come down to is I can say whatever I want on the radio and she will help me and fully support it and, you know, bring me coffee if I'm looking sleepy, but we're going to obey all the laws we can. Basically, my goal is if I get thrown in a cage, it's going to be for something that's legal now that becomes illegal, like talking. I'm going to do it as long as I can.
Hey, everybody's got to have their line in the sand, and I support wherever you're coming from.
I don't think anyone has a line in the sand. I mean, that goes. I guess everyone has to have their.
Well, you just drew a line. I mean, you just said that if they go after talking, that you will violate that. You will, you know, act as disobedient.
Yeah. There's when I think line. Of line in the sand, I always think of, because violent people that want to resort to violence always say that. And
true, it does have that violent thing.
I always think that they're kind of puss-pusses because, you know, people say, when my rights are violated, I'm going to start shooting. And I'm like, your rights were violated since before you were born. And, you know, if somebody really believed in that, they'd be defending their neighbor who smokes pot for getting their door kicked in for smoking pot, even if the gun owner didn't smoke pot.
Yeah, well, that's why I wish that the folks who have been accused of, or the guy who's been accused of administering the Silk Road, who's a Free State Project participant, if only he actually lived in New Hampshire, then when that raid happened, he could have called out and actually had people show up and help with that situation.
With cameras and, you know, there's a poster I really like. You know, where I fall on the whole violence thing is absolutely into self-defense, do carry a weapon. Was kind of shocked when you said that, you know, you woke up one night to a noise and came downstairs and there was some guy kind of drunk, kind of quiet, slowly trashing your studio.
Yeah.
And you came down without a weapon, and there's weapons in your house. I mean, if you know, you could grab a gun, there's a gun there probably. And if there isn't, you could have grabbed a golf club or a baseball bat or something. You know, you went down and you ended up sitting down and talking to him unarmed and friending him on Facebook. And I was just appalled at that. I'm not saying I would have shot the guy. I wouldn't even necessarily come down pointing a weapon at him, but I would have come downstairs with a weapon if there were someone in my house in the middle of the night. You know, but I'm also not one of these, it's time to shoot the government. I don't believe that's an answer. I don't believe it's ethical. I really don't believe it'll work. I believe it's a suicide mission. Also, everyone that talks about it, none of them are very good with, most of them aren't very good with guns, you know, like, people that are talking like that should be able to, you know, shoot a dinner plate at 300 or 400 yards with a rifle, which I can, but I wouldn't shoot the government. I don't think it's a winning proposition. And I
definitely
think it's
not.
I think it's really a grandpa's solution. You know, I think people sound really old when they say that. They sound like,
get off my lawn.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It sounds really, you know, in 1775, a rifled long gun was the cutting edge of technology. It was the most advanced technology that existed. It was before, you know, it was before the telegraph by, you know, nearly 100 years. I mean, it was the cutting edge of technology. And
so we need to take up websites and shooting the government. Yeah,
I think Bitcoin and encryption and radio is old technology, but I think it's still very useful. But I just think there are so many ways. Yeah. You know, there's a poster I really like. Have you seen this one, Ian or Davi? It's it says World War One, and it's got like a Gatling gun, machine gun from World War One, and it says World War Two, and it's got like an M1 Garand rifle from World War Two, and it says World War Three, and it's got a video camera.
No, but that's cool. I was kind of expecting like sticks, but
oh yeah. Well, I've heard someone say, I don't know what World War Three will be fought with, but World War Four will be fought with sticks and stones.
I think that was Einstein.
Yeah. One of the fathers of the bomb. Worms.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives. This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting from, you know what kind of bunker it is. And that toe-tapping little number going all the way back to 2011 was Right Arm of Wyoming doing their song, Would You Tar and Feather, a Tax Collector? And I guess we were talking about growth. I wrote that song, and I wouldn't write a song called that now, I don't think. It's kind of funny, though. It's a funny title. So we're talking about this article for the last Redemption in the Third Act. We're going to try to find some, and we're trying to find it on policeone.com, which is pretty hard. Policeone.com is a site that only police can post on. Anybody can read it. I think they're going to end that eventually to where only police can read it, because they are realizing that people like CopBlock and the rest of the world comment a lot negatively about the things that they say amongst themselves, and we're about to do the same thing. So there's an article on Police One called Following Ferguson, a Body Camera for Every Officer. It's by Doug Wiley, Police One editor-in-chief, and it's basically making the case for, you know, maybe police should wear body cameras all the time, because if that happened, then this righteous police officer who obviously shot this black youth in self-defense, he could prove that it was in self-defense, because the police are generally backing him with his claim that that's what happened. And also, this kind of seems, I mean, I'm getting ads on this page for Taser equipment, and I know that Taser company, the company that makes the zappers, the, you know, the slave whips of the new masters, I know that they make body cameras. So this could just kind of be a product placement. Let's get everyone behind this. But do you want to read some of the comments here, guys, of cops arguing that they should not have body cameras?
You know, the worst comment I've seen so far is the second one on the page that calls people savages. That I think is pretty awful. But, you know, surprisingly, a lot of these comments here are pro camera.
Yeah. You know, the interesting thing about cameras and police and riots I've been noticing is that the mainstream news seems 100% behind the police. Well, not all of it. There was a CNN guy who kind of was on the scene and went on a rant about this is nuts. This is overreacting. And I totally agree with him. But the one thing I notice is I keep seeing this stuff on, I keep turning on Fox and MSLSD and Commie News Network, CNN, a couple times a day for a few minutes and channel flipping to see what they're saying about it. And they keep showing these videos or stills of like police explosive devices going off and smoke, you know, smoke bomb smoke and tear gas billowing and people running around randomly in it. And it looks like a war zone. And they say it's like a war zone there. And the thing they don't mention is the cops are making it look like a war zone. All of those devices that you're seeing exploding are from the cops. And I think some people looking at this think, oh, the citizens there are blowing things up and burning things. They did. Yeah. Something did get burned, but not every night like they're making it look like. Or people are supposed to think, well, they must be doing bad things if the police need to use those devices.
Did you see the footage where the cops actually shot tear gas directly at a news crew that had set up?
Yes. Oh, did you see the follow-up to that? Yeah, they shot tear gas at Al Jazeera, drove them off, and then went over and
Was that Al Jazeera? I didn't know that.
And packed up their cameras. I don't know if they took their cameras, but then there was an article in the St. Louis Dispatch the next day saying the police did not steal their cameras, as is being said. They were merely helping them. Like, what?
I saw in the footage the like shock troops come over there after they after the tear gas starts to expand and the news crew runs away. They come over and they pointed one of their $50,000 cameras at the ground, but I did not see them take it.
I watched 2 hours last night and about an hour the night before of live streaming footage from this thing called Argus News, which is it's a hip hop like music internet radio channel from a town about 10 miles from Ferguson, and somebody from there went there with a camera setting up to stream on live stream. And I saw the cops looking violent, and I didn't see anybody looking violent. I saw the cops pointing rifles at people for just driving the wrong way and getting lost and things like that. And I saw them telling unauthorized news people to leave the area or be arrested, and telling authorized news people to go over into a pen, and then tear gassing the people that didn't comply. When they were just
copblock.org, that's all I gotta say.
Yeah, copblock.org, good site. Well, thanks Ian Freeman and Dobby Barker. It's been a great Freedom Fiends, man.
Worms,
thank you for your service. Worms.
Worms.
Thank you, Ian. How's your brain, Ian? How are my effects on tonight? How's your brain, Ian?